I feel like our equivalent of radio magic is like the same equivalent of the magician who stands in front of you and goes, look, a rabbit. We did it. Yay.
Yeah, we did it. Folks, if you take a look at the NBA standings, like if you weren't paying attention to the NBA at all this year, or, you know, you were out of the country or whatever, and you looked at the NBA standings and you saw what was going on, you might be in disbelief. But the Cavaliers continue to dominate the NBA. 28 wins, 4 losses. 4 losses.
Unbelievable.
They've won 7 straight games. You know, they're on a path to clearly have the best record in team history. And remember, this team had LeBron James, right? That's when this was, that's when this thing was really flying. This team right now has a better record than anything we've seen in God knows how long from who. 28-4. And they keep playing well. If you've been looking for a little bit of a slide, and I don't know why you would be, because the way they're playing, I won't say it's bulletproof, but the way they're playing seems to be slump-proof. They're moving the ball. They're sharing the ball. A lot of different guys are involved. It's the way that basketball, to me, offensively, Dan, is supposed to be played.
The only way that this thing falls into a slump is if 4 guys can't hit shots. Like, that's what's going to have to happen.
And it's that many guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's going to have to happen for this team to fall into some kind of a slump, is that 4 different guys are going to have to miss shots and just not be able to hit the open, you know, hit the open shots that they're getting inside of the offense. The other one, too, that I wonder is, so 2015 finals, right? We'll go hop in a time machine for 10 years. The Cavaliers were able to give the Golden State Warriors everything that they had in the tank because, and they did it in 2016 too, because they basically roughed them up and took away the beautiful game. And by that, I mean all the back cuts and the down screens and everything that made the Golden State Warriors, the slip screens, the handoffs, everything like that.
You mean the kind of stuff that we're seeing now a little more prevalent in the NBA based on copycat league.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that, like, oh, yeah, we could do something besides pound the ball over the 3-point line and then try to drive. Wow. What a world. And so I wonder a little bit what happens when somebody takes away the beautiful Cavalier game.
And that's why I've said, you've said, we've chatted about, okay, let's see how this goes in the playoffs, because you just don't see it going away here in the regular season. The way it's been played now, I don't see it going away. It's really tough to prepare for a team, you know, night after night after night, you know, a different team every night.
Absolutely.
And the way the Cavs are playing, they're really difficult. Hey, we're catching Cleveland tonight. Okay, well, that's going to be tough.
Yeah, good luck.
If you're in a 7-game series, it's a completely different story. And that's why I've said, man, let's get to the playoffs. Let's see what this is all about. But boy, you better enjoy it while we're on the way to the playoffs.
And it's worth it. I mean, what you're watching right now is great ball. And when you get to the playoffs, it's going to be great ball as well. And there's going to be a hiccup along the way with this team that is going to help to either galvanize them or to show something that we all don't want to look at. Something's going to happen. And I'm not trying to be pessimistic, and I'm not trying to, you know, wish injury upon anybody, but that's how the NBA works. Somebody's going to miss 15 games. Somebody's going to miss 20 games with something.
Well, you would think so, and we really haven't seen that yet.
We haven't seen it. They've been really healthy to this point.
Yep.
Outside of, like, okay, you know, Dean Wade working through some stuff, Max Strus not being here in the beginning of the year.
Out of night, you know.
Right. The big guys, you know, the core that you really are relying on have not missed a boatload of games. And at some point, somebody's going to roll an ankle. And so I wonder what this looks like when that happens, and if this team is able to rally around and redefine itself in that matter like they were able to do last year when Darius Garland went out with the broken jaw and Evan Mobley was dealing with his injuries, and this team redefined itself with Jared Allen and Donovan Mitchell and went on that winning streak and rattled off a whole bunch of wins, including that Dallas one, which still blows me away.
They've played 32 games, okay, 28-4. They've played 32 games. Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland have played in 31 of them. Evan has played in 30 of them. Jared Allen hasn't missed a game. Neither has George Niang. But the core four, they've missed a combined total of four games.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's an amazing awesome. Thing. And that's, you know, you keep that going, you might, you know, you might be pushing for 70 wins.
Absolutely. You absolutely could be with this. I mean, the fact that we all went in the beginning of the season, went, schedule's soft. They're hitting teams on, you know, the wrong nights, all that kind of stuff.
Which, by the way, I do think they have.
Yeah.
I think they've benefited greatly by catching teams at the right time. Not every game, obviously. But they've caught a lot of teams when those teams were down. Well, guess what? They've taken care of business.
Right.
So that you really can't say anything about that. It doesn't really matter. They've taken care of business.
There haven't really been a whole lot of games that we've looked at and said, they just kind of took the night off. They goofed around with that one.
Yeah.
They've come in, they've taken business, and we're done. And last night's a perfect example of it. They came in, all the starters, and I don't know if it was an edict before the game. I wonder if it was from Kenny Atkinson that he'll never say out loud. But all the starters didn't play 30 minutes. He wouldn't let him get to 30 minutes. The whole bench played. Everybody played on top of that. Now,
but they were up by, what, 8 points at halftime?
Yeah.
And they're up by 18 points after three. But sit down, fellas.
But even that, I mean, good golly, Tom Thibodeau would have been like, get out there. You've got 40 more minutes in you.
That's you true. Know?
Like, it's just a difference in coaching philosophy that's taking place in here where, who were we talking to? Coach Fratello, where he was saying that, you know, every so often you got to go to those guys at the end of the bench and you got to say to them, hey, you're getting in tonight. Get ready. You're playing some minutes tonight. And last night was one of those times. I mean, the bottom of that roster all played 5 minutes last night.
Which is swell, but I think the game dictated that more than strategy. My own thought.
You could be right, but boy, the results scream. Let's keep everybody in decent
engaged.
Shape.
Yeah. My complaint in the past has been just don't be completely dominated by the two guys in the backcourt, even though they're tremendous players in Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland. Some nights you see that. Last night you saw it. It worked.
Yeah.
You know, things just got a little out of whack, some foul trouble and issues, and nobody took more than no other starter took more than 9 shots. Jared Allen took 9. Darius took 17. Donovan took 19.
Yeah.
Okay. Some nights you need
and
that
Garland
to
had
happen.
It last night.
Right. Some nights you might need Evan Mobley to take 20 shots.
Yeah.
You know, one night it might be Jared Allen with 15. You know, something like that. It's just the health and the health of the key four guys and the way that Kenny Atkinson has utilized them this year. It's been a tremendous recipe for getting things done.
It's been
done.
A joy.
Josh is in Berea. Josh.
All right, Josh.
Welcome.
Happy New Year's, guys.
Very happy New Year to you as well.
So to start off, yeah, I can't say anything more glowing than what you guys have said about the Cavs. I mean, another great stat about the team and the core four. They have had 5 games this year where they've scored plus 20. No other team in the NBA has done that. Not a single team in the NBA has had 4 starters score 20 points. The Cavs have done it 5 times. So
that's awesome.
I think that's a recipe that shows you that this can translate in the postseason just because it's like, hey, like you guys said, not everyone's going to go cold. So it's like, and you're going to have a tighter rotation. Those guys are going to have more minutes, and you're going to see probably even bigger numbers. And then we're going to have legends here like Evan Mobley and Darius from years to come if they step up in those moments. But a little shout-out I want to give out to, because I know we've been all enamored with how Donovan's leadership has just literally been permeating throughout the entire locker room. He is just a great guy, stand-up dude. Awesome that he's in Cleveland. How our bench is just a spark plug. Evan Mobley's development, it's the eye test. You see it. Whether the numbers say something else, the eye test is there. Evan Mobley is becoming a force to be reckoned with. But we really need to give a little bit of love to Darius Garland, because in these last 4 games, he's been averaging 25 points a game, shooting 62% from the field, averaging 7 assists, and he's averaging 2 steals a game in that stretch. I mean, he's playing defense, he's getting his shots, he's creating for others, and that's exactly what you need, especially for Donovan Mitchell, who's been carrying the load the last few years and been breaking down in the playoffs. If Darius can be that buffer for the regular season so we can have a Donovan Mitchell fully rested for the postseason, oh baby. And mark your calendars, ladies and gentlemen, January 8th, you're talking about the Cavs haven't faced anybody. and Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, we're facing a potential NBA final preview match with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Ooh. I cannot wait for that game. Everybody should be in this building. It's going to be electric. These are the two best organizations who know how to develop young guys, and you should be appreciating this and not listening to the Charles Barkleys and all these old NBA heads who keep just destroying the NBA and not watching the good teams and the good young players who are actually doing the right things and playing good basketball. And I can't wait to watch those two,
those two teams. Who guards Shea? Who you put on Shea?
Oh, I mean, if you're going to have, if you're talking about in the series, if it's in the finals, it's Donovan on Shea. But you're going to put
Darius.
He's
going to play big boy defense like he's been playing. I'm in.
Shea is amazing. I'm not going to say Darius is going to lock him down, but in the regular season, I just feel like you're going to want to see a show. They're going to want to trade buckets. But in the postseason, I hope if we do make it to the finals and face them, you're going to have to put Donovan in key matchups in third quarter, fourth quarter situations. You asked me.
All right, Josh.
I got goosebumps.
Thank you very much. By the way,
let's go.
You heard came from the NBA office when Josh said NBA Finals preview, Oklahoma City and Cleveland.
Give me the two best teams. Let's go.
That you're not working for the NBA.
Watch some killer hoops.
You're not working for the NBA, Dan.
I am not, but I am available. Make me an offer. I'm interested.
You're not working for the NBA.
Yet.
Oklahoma City, Cleveland. Oh, please, no.
More of that. Give me great hoops.
I'm just telling you.
I'm here for all the great hoops.
That's the NBA office.
I'll tell you, man, Darius Garland hung against Jason Tatum in the last 2 minutes of that game in the cup. I was shocked.
Your phone call's coming up, 216-474-0092. Daryl Ryder's going to join us at 11 o'clock. Cavs taking on a 40-year-old guy tonight who thinks he can play till he's 45 if he wanted to. We'll touch on that. Yet another reason why you don't draft a kicker. We're going to get into that later on. Right. Dan's going to want to throw his head through the window over here. I'm Jeff Phelps.
It'll be fun. We'll have Anthony get it on camera.
Menegan's in for Baskin today.
We'll put it on YouTube.
Daryl Ryder's joining us momentarily. Cavaliers against the Los Angeles Lakers tonight as the Cavs continue their West Coast road trip. LeBron James of the Los Angeles Lakers. You know LeBron. By the way, he's closing in. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up playing more years in Los Angeles than he played in Cleveland, which would be a shame, but that's possible. Did you see that LeBron said, and he turned 40 yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
He came into the league at 18.
Good for him.
So he turned 40 yesterday, and he said that he thinks he could probably play another 5 to 7 years if he wanted to. He said, to be honest, if I really wanted to, I could probably play this game at a high level for probably another, it's weird that I might say this, but probably another 5 to 7 years if I wanted to. But I'm not going to do that. I would say that's preposterous, except for one thing. If he has slowed down at 40, it's like he's gone from 100 to 93.
He's slowed down.
He's still really good.
He's still really good. The first step isn't as explosive as it once was. And the jumper has become better because of it.
Yeah,
he's really worked at his jump shot.
He's needed to work on it since the day he joined the league.
Right.
And to me, he's a streak shooter. He's never been a good shooter.
Right.
But when he gets on a heater, look out.
Exactly.
Look out.
But like we've seen with, John Stockton, a lot of those point guards who have hung on, Andre Miller, a lot of those point guards who have hung on for a long time, the passing gene never leaves.
True.
You're always able to see, you're always able to see those lanes. You're always able to make those passes. You're always able to do those things. His ability to read balls off the rim to grab rebounds will always be there. And so he could easily wake up and average at 45 years old
15-9-7,
and it wouldn't shock me, because again,
the way he plays the game, he plays it with his head.
Yeah,
for a long time it was athleticism combined with his head, and the athleticism might not be what it used to be, but it's still really good. The guy takes in incredible care of himself.
Right.
Anyhow, the Cavs are going to see him tonight if he plays. So that'll be good.
40th birthday is probably a good amount of wine. We'll see what it looks like. And good for him. It should be.
By the way, in case you're wondering, oldest player, Nat Hickey, was 45 years old when he played.
When was that?
His last game was in 1948.
Whoa, good for him.
But Kevin Willis is the guy that,
that's,
you know,
the one I always remember.
Yeah, Kevin played till he was almost 45 years
old. Yeah, Kevin Willis played forever and had the most ripped arms I have ever seen in my life. That dude was ripped.
Robert Parrish was 43.
Yeah, Chief was up there, too.
Hey, the mayor's with us, Brad Sellers. Hi, Mayor.
No, Ken in Brooklyn. Jeff.
Oh, hi, Ken. How you doing?
Hi, Ken.
Yeah. Listen, first of all, happy New Year to everybody.
Thank you, buddy. Same to you.
Great, you as well, man.
Hope you're doing well health-wise.
Remember, everybody, health is your wealth.
I know it
better than anybody.
There it is.
Good point, man.
And you're doing okay?
Okay. Yeah, I'm doing good, Jeff.
Great.
Good.
I'm sincerely happy to hear that. Yeah. Good for you.
Okay. All right. Now, listen. I've been around quite a while, and even when we won the championship, we have never seen anything like this in Cleveland. And, you know, like they were saying the other night, like Malone was saying, you know, technically, as I think you guys mentioned, we are possibly on pace to win 70 games this year, which is remarkable.
Yeah.
And I want just to let Mr. Buckley know, I love what Tom Thibodeau's doing, because he's running his players into the ground. 38, 40 minutes. Last night they were playing the Wizards, and their team, the starters were still in with like 2 minutes left in the game. So I love that, because you're going to be dead by the All-Star game. Either he just wants to play them like that, or he doesn't have anybody else to put on the floor. So that's great. I love it. And we go 11 deep.
As funny as this sounds, Ken, it's Tibbs. He might have other guys he played on the floor. That dude knows one speed and one speed only, and we've seen it in so many playoffs where he gets into the second round of the playoffs and is playing guys that were like, he's a Nick? I'll be darned.
Yeah. And then they're playing him 44 minutes.
Exactly. But
this is great, and you know, I hope that all the scarecrows out there will finally realize what the finest sports franchise in this city is. And it certainly doesn't wear brown and orange. Okay, this franchise, these guys have done a fantastic job. I would look to see at buyout time. I heard some talk about people wanting to make trades. We ain't doing nothing. If there's a guy out there that's been bought out, you want to bring in as a backup for the front court, that's great. But I'm not doing anything. Don't mess with success.
Ken, continued good health to you in 2025,
buddy. Thank you very much, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
There's Ken in Brooklyn. Always good to talk to him. I'm glad he's doing well. Bill's in Parma. Hey, Bill.
All right, Bill.
Hey, good morning. Hey, Happy New Year, you guys.
And to you,
Bill.
Happy
New Year as well to you and the family.
Oh, you guys are great to listen to. And, Jeff, you were one of the first ones to state and has stated a long time, you know, pass the ball, move the ball, get it to Mobley, get everybody to touch the ball. This is for discussion today. Sometimes I'll put it out there a little bit. The most valuable player in the NBA right now is Mitchell. And I'll tell you why. The most valuable player on this team is Mitchell. And he bought into the system.
Which guys don't always do, Bill, but when you get paid and when you see what it could lead to, you know, then I give him credit for doing that.
Well, and this is a statement I just want you to mull over. I'm not saying I'm right, but I think I'm right. I don't. Story of my life right there. Story of my life. But I don't think LeBron would do it. I think LeBron would say, There's a me thing in LeBron that is toxic, and that thing has been present, so that I know this is going to be a pushback on this, but here we go. Who would have thought he would have only had 4 championships in 22 years? That's way, way, way under. And the reason is, at some level, not being able to be, quote-unquote, a team guy. Now, you guys were talking about him. I agree with you. Physically, offensively, the way he knows the game, none better. How many times have I seen him walk back on defense? How many times have I seen him point to some rookie to do his job for him on defense? And you know what? That's poison. And I hope we don't ever get him back here. Not that he's a bad guy. I'm not saying that. But that thing that he has is bothersome. Lastly, if people want to really watch passing the ball at its best, please YouTube the Celtics, Boston Celtics in 1966 or 67. I want to tell you something.
Bob Cousy is smiling somewhere as you're saying
No,
that's post Cousy. You're right. That would have been
Hando and Casey Jones. This is Casey Jones, Sam Jones, Don Nelson.
Yep.
And you people hear about Russell winning the most valuable player 5 years. Have you ever seen him shoot a ball, Dan?
It's not pretty.
He's got an ugly shot.
It's a very bad jumper.
He has an incredibly bad jumper. I mean, 10 feet in and out, he's very ineffective. Yet he won the most valuable player 5 years. So the question is, those are the type of players that really are the most valuable. Great program, you guys. Have a great day.
All right, Bill. Thank you very much. Bill and Parma. Desmond is in New York City. Des.
Happy New Year, Des. Yeah.
Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year. Save the best for last. That last call put me to sleep. The human Xanax. Okay, well, Happy New Year, guys.
Bill, that wasn't very nice of Desmond,
wow.
But, you know.
Horrible.
I do appreciate you coming in throwing 102. I do appreciate such things.
He's probably a nice guy, but literally put me to sleep. Okay, listen, let's get real here with the Cavs. Cavs are not the best team in the NBA. They have the best record in the NBA.
Well,
the team is not.
Now to keep in mind, you didn't hear either one of us say they were the best team in the NBA, did you?
I heard you say it, bro. Jeff, I love you. But
no,
you
they have
it.
The best record in the NBA.
I
don't believe I said it because I don't believe they are.
No,
but I do
not.
Believe they have the best record
in
the NBA.
A lot of nonsense comes out of my mouth, so you pretty much could pin me on anything, and I'd probably be like, yeah, I can check out.
This roster is not built for the playoffs. I put the Magic ahead of the Cavs with a healthy roster. I put
and
the Celtics
health.
Ahead. And I put the Knicks way ahead. The Knicks have the best starting five in the NBA. It's not even close. Cat is a legit MVP candidate. He's averaging 26 and 14. I don't want to hear any Evan Mobley love. Evan Mobley will get destroyed, as he always does, by the Knicks. He's soft, and so is Jared Allen. Donovan Mitchell's a nice player. The Knicks are a vastly better team than the Cavs.
Oh, Des, we're gonna have a bunch of fun in the next several months, aren't we?
Yeah, and we all have to agree on this right now, including you, Dan.
All right,
I want to hear you say it.
So what?
I need you to say New York forever.
What happens? First and foremost, no, that's cruel and uncalled for. By the way, how's Juan Soto looking in that Mets jersey? Anyway.
Wow.
What's going to happen to Tom Thibodeau when Karl Anthony Towns commits his fifth foul in the backcourt in playoff game number 3?
We have Jalen Brunson to score 55 a game, and we have Mitchell Robinson healthy next week coming back. Good luck, NBA. The Knicks are winning the chip, as I say every year, but they're winning it this year for sure. The Cavs, probably a third seed. In my opinion. Right now, they're riding high. You don't peak in December, folks.
Des,
Happy
thank
New Year,
you, buddy.
Guys.
I appreciate
Happy
it,
New
Des.
Year.
And I'm also really, really excited to watch Tom Thibodeau put together like 18 curse words in a line that we've never heard before in our lives when Karl Anthony Towns commits his fifth foul in the backcourt in the second quarter of an Eastern Conference game 4. I'm really excited for when that happens.
Kevin's in Cuyahoga Falls. Kevin, we got about 30 seconds for you, bud. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Gentlemen, Happy New Year's.
And to you, buddy.
You as well.
Thanks so much. Hey, talk about handing off the baton. It wasn't even worth popping the corks to smell champagne in that locker room of Golden State last night. Was it just me, or did they not look old, slow, and fat, flat-footed defensively? I mean, wow. What? I mean, the baton has been passed. I mean, Golden State is not what they were before.
That's
just
a fact.
So evident last night, wasn't it?
I would agree with that, and you could make the argument that it's been that way for a little while. You know, you've got to have the right personnel. They're a 500 basketball team right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's record-wise, and that's what your eyes tell you, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Your boy Kuminga's starting to come around, Jeff.
Oh, Kuminga's tough.
I got your answer about the Cavs.
I'm sorry, Kev?
I said I got Dan's answer about the Cavs.
Go.
Okay,
real quick. We're seventh best points in the paint, right?
Wow.
We're over 450 a game. Last night, clearly guard-heavy. Performance was outside. We only had 42 points in the paint. So this team has shown they can play big in the middle, or they can go outside if they have to. And the other great piece of this that I think this team, that people are completely overlooking, is when LeVert and Jerome come off the bench, we lose nothing but when those guys come in, which has been such an improvement for this team. It's made this team so much better. Our bench has improved dramatically with those guys from where we have been the last couple of years. And I think that's going to be the difference that's going to take us through the playoffs this year.
Kevin, thank you very much.
Good point, Kev. Ty Jerome has been awesome this year, and hopefully he continues to be awesome.
There's no question. I mean, the numbers tell you the Cavs have the best record in the NBA. If you want to say they're the best team in the NBA, fine, go ahead. Desmond said, I did. If I did, excuse me, I misspoke, because I don't know that you can say that right now about anybody in the NBA, because that's where the playoffs come in. As I've said all along, get me to the playoffs, because I think this has just been terrific. The way they've played, outstanding. But when you get to the playoffs, you're going to see some things. And I think the Cavs and maybe a handful of other teams, Boston, New York, don't count out Milwaukee. Look over in the other conference. It's Oklahoma City. I'm not counting out the Clippers. I like Ty Lue's work. And I'm not counting out Denver, despite the fact they've had some issues. But, man, this could be a really fun ride, and we should all just really enjoy it. Daryl Ryder is our Browns beat reporter. Daryl, joining us next. What's the deal with Mike Vrabel? What's the deal with the Modell Law? Next on Basket of Phelps.